You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Over the last couple of years, one of the most fiercely debated subjects in state politics has been education policy and funding. The changes that have gone into effect have had an impact on public schools, and now a group of principals are speaking out about it.
In a recent letter sent to Governor Walker and state legislators, more than 30 high school principals from southern Wisconsin signed on to make the case that reduced local control, among other things, is hurting their schools. They also say that the competitive nature and business model their schools now face is creating haves and have-nots and is affecting their ability to educate their students.
We're joined now by one of the signers of that letter. Mark Rolofson is the principal at Jefferson High School. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So I understand that you were one of the people who initiated this letter writing effort. Why did you decide to write this open letter?
You know, it's interesting, but there are so many ways to get a hold of legislators and get the word out. But oftentimes, I think a phone call from an individual might not carry the meaning that a letter, signed by, in this particular case, 35 high school principals, ranging from very large districts like Heartland Arrowhead and Waukesha schools and Kettle Moraine to very small districts. Rio and district that size, I think that it just may carry a little bit more weight, and we just felt that maybe that's the wise approach.
And what kind of perspective do you think you as principals bring to the table? We've heard from a lot of other voices as this has gone on, school boards, teachers, superintendents. What do we get from principals?
Well, we're kind of in the middle of the whole of this whole thing. One is we're firsthand able to see what's taking place in the classrooms and what's taking place with co-curriculars, everything from football games and FFA and music concerts, and we're at events. We tend to be especially in a rural community like this here in Jefferson, where you run into people out on a Friday night fish fry. And I think that connection goes a long ways, and so you see that, and then also you sit in the meetings and you look at changes in statute and changes in mandates, and you take a look at what's happened with funding, and this is goes back much more. For me, this is my 18th year coming up here, and as a principal in this particular school district, and prior to Act 10, this isn't about Act 10. I see the changes in 1992, when revenue limits hit, economy at that point in time was soaring pretty strong, and all of a sudden we were starting to squeeze then. But be quite honest, there was fat to trim at that point in time. I certainly see that. I saw it at the time, and I certainly see it looking back retrospectively. But then all of a sudden it reached a point in the late 90s, early 2000s, where we started going, wow, this is starting to get pretty tight. We're seeing the difference. And then, boom, Act 10 hits, $1.6 billion cut since Governor Walker has taken seat. And and I look in this district alone, where 18 and a half certified employees just in our high school have been reduced since 1992. So that's over a long period of time, but a major impact. And so it's not just cut programs, and it's not just cut opportunities, but it's also the fact that we have looked at bodies, and as a result, we see it increasingly difficult to meet the needs of today's standards.
And as presented, the governor said Act 10 was going to help school districts control those costs. Yeah, the cuts were there, but by limiting collective bargaining, there were going to be money savings, too. Is that balancing out?
I would have to say no, it really has not. I don't see that has come to the benefit at this particular juncture.
So what you were talking about, this cumulative impact of budget cuts from a time when, as you said, there's maybe some fat to trim until now. So what, from a student perspective, what are they going to see different in schools now in their education as a result of those couple decades of cuts?
Well, you look at where can we potentially go with some cuts. Let me talk about any school district across the state right now where you eliminate opportunity for students. There's man- mandatory classes. So, you know, clearly the math classes and science classes and social studies classes are going to continue to get taught, and you could see class sizes increasing, and we've seen that. We certainly are reaching our point where we used to have class sizes of 18, 19 in a class, and, you know, now all of a sudden we're looking at class sizes of 28, 29. That's much more common than it had been in the past, and that's an average. We see some higher than that and some lower. That certainly is a connection, but we've continued to try to maintain all of the programs that have been offered. As an example, you know, we've tried to maintain clubs and co-curricular opportunities, but that's oftentimes the connection that kids have when all of a sudden they get an opportunity to soar in the arts or in music, in athletics, and we've maintained those. And in this competitive business model, you have to. When your neighboring district is offering something, if you don't offer that as well, you're going to see the flow of students. They go to where that opportunity is, and that becomes a significant issue. And so people are just stretched thinner. Back when we had 18, 18 and a half more certified employees just in this high school, that was more coaches. That was more teachers, less preps for teachers. I see teachers just flat out getting burned out. Teachers teaching, you know, four or five different preps over the course of a school day is a tremendous amount. When I say prep, I'm talking about four or five different courses to teach on the day, and in some cases, six different courses to teach on the day. That's a tremendous amount, especially when today you don't walk down the hallway and see lectures like you used to. This is not setting up a class where it's sit and get. It's hands-on. There's learning circles taking place at the elementary levels, high school level, more collaborative learning. All those types of things take a tremendous amount of time to prepare for. And now we have fewer teachers to teach all those different courses, fewer teachers to serve on committees, fewer teachers to run after school clubs and organizations, and kids that need extra help. Let's face it, we've got families that are potentially struggling, no matter what those struggles might be. And I think we have a duty to our students to be that eye and that ear for our community to help our kids out.
I'm talking to Mark Rolofson from Jefferson High School. He's principal there. He's one of a group of 35 high school principals who signed a letter to the governor and state legislature about problems they see in school policy funding, and not just funding. Mark, you also are concerned with state mandates, things that are required by the states overriding local control of school districts. Why is that a concern?
Overriding local control, I guess you take a look at the list once. Certification, all of a sudden, that's become done at the state government level. Just recently, over the course of the last several months, athletic participation is now all of a sudden something that's being controlled at the state level. 3 years of math to graduate, 3 years of science to graduate. You know, what's interesting is that some of these are decent decisions. I don't have a problem with 3 years of math or science to graduate. In fact, personally, I think it's a wise decision. But is that a decision that should be made at the state level, or should our local folks have that kind of control? The calendar, that has been quite a while now, about 10 years or more, where the school calendar has been determined. Assessments, you know, 16 different days, I believe, was quoted in the paper. Heartland Arrowhead had unique schedules where the rest of the student body did not have learning going on because they had assessments taking place. We have 42 days on our school year at Jefferson High School where some sort of assessment is taking place, and I'm not talking about a chapter test at the end of a unit, but 42 days out of the year. Now, that does not mean that every student in the high school is taking a standardized test 42 days, but some test is taking place. ACT, required of all juniors, our curriculum. So you've got assessment, you've got curriculum, you've got the calendar, certification, all those things are all of a sudden controlled at the state level. And you know, it's no wonder why school board members who are elected locally feel like they just don't have the decision-making power that they did years ago. And I'm not sure that's what was intended. You know, you think about why small government in local communities carries such a weight. It's because oftentimes, at least it's supposed to work, where they know what's best. And I don't think we can count on Madison or Washington to be able to tell us what's best.
When you took these concerns and others to your colleagues, other principals, what kind of response did you hear for them?
You know, it was all done via email. And so when this went out, that's all I simply did was just ask is, you know, here's an idea. These are some of the concepts and thoughts that would be shared in the letter to the governor and to legislators. And would you be willing to sign? And the vast majority said yes. There were a few that didn't that were in the local area because I certainly invited private and parochial schools to sign on as well. And I get it. You know, I can see where some of them may not. But, you know, there were 35 that said yes almost immediately. And so, well, we moved from there. We just hope to be able to have a bit of a voice. We'd like to be able to voice what our concerns are because we're here. We're working in this environment. We see it day in and day out.
We're talking right now with Mark Rolofson of Jefferson High School, one of 35 high school principals who signed a letter to the governor and the state legislature outlining how changes to education they say have hurt their schools.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Do you support more local control for schools, or should the state have the final say? Do you think changes to educational policy in Wisconsin are creating haves and have-nots, as the letter writer suggests? And where do you see room for collaboration between principals of schools and lawmakers? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking with Mark Rolofson of Jefferson High School. He was one of 35 high school principals who signed a letter to Governor Walker and the state legislature. They say changes made to education in Wisconsin have created schools of haves and have-nots. And the principals say they're worried about the reduction in local control for schools.
You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work in a school? Have you seen changes to budgets and local control affecting your school? Would you agree with some of the points these principals are bringing up in this letter? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Gary on the line in Muskego. Gary, hi.
Hey, good afternoon.
What do you think, Gary?
Well, I certainly want to thank the Jefferson principal for being on your show, and he built a strong case. The comment I have, though, is that you know, the bottom line is they're saying, well, we need more funding. And, you know, when you talk about state funding and the same issue with federal funding, you know, it's all a matter of prioritization. So, you know, the people that need health care say they need more funding. And, you know, they say we need more funding at the university level and more funding for the homeless. So that's the key. You know, every agency or group of agencies like schools, I don't doubt that they can build an effective case, and I don't doubt that their concerns are legitimate, but we're dealing in a world of limited resources.
Gary, thanks a lot for the call. So, Mark, there are a lot of other budget priorities. Schools are just one of them, and within schools there are priorities, so ultimately you got to deal with the hand you're dealt, I guess.
You know, it's that's a great comment, and there's a budget to balance, no doubt, and America and this state, local governments all over have overspent for decades and decades. So it's a great comment, no doubt. I think that when it comes right down to some of the mandates, I mean, as an example, that 3 credits of math and science, as I mentioned earlier, that's now required, that decision was made and put into effect in such a quick hurry. There's a factor of hiring new teachers to fill those positions. You know, what happens with equipment? What about the training? What classes are going to get offered? What about computer and technology? All those types of things. Testing required across the entire state of Wisconsin for 8th graders, elementary and middle schoolers, and teachers that went to training for a long period of time and got set for Smarter Balanced Assessment. We had to make sure our bandwidth was right. We bought more computers, and then, boom, it was taken away, just like that. The millions and millions of dollars that was wasted in those decisions was just ridiculous. And so there is savings, and I think that if two-thirds funding had done what it was supposed to do, if the revenue limits, which was supposed to be 4 to 6 years or so, it's 23 years later, it was supposed to be a temporary piece. if those types of things were not made at the state level, we may not be in this position right now. And there are still things that can be done. Some of those mandates just get taken away and said, hey, you know what, leave that up to the local people. Leave that up to the local governments. They'll make the decision. They know what their communities need. They know what their children need. And they also know what they have for financing. And let them make the decision.
Gary, thanks for the call. Yeah. Sorry, I'll bring on another caller, yeah. Mark. We've got Dave in line in Franklin. Dave, hi.
Oh, hi. Am I on?
Yep, you're on. What do you think, Dave?
Oh, thanks. I love these guys being on the air. My wife teaches in the Franklin School District. And morale for the teachers there is at an all-time low. We need some people speaking up for education. I really applaud their efforts. But I hear a lot of talk about funding, and I see it from a different point of view. It's not a funding issue to me. It's more of a revenue problem. We don't have a budget or funding problem. We have a revenue issue where we're not seem to be willing to make the effort to invest in education like we used to. The state used to give quite a bit more funding to local school districts, and they've reduced that over the years. I'll hang up and listen to your comments on that. Thank
Dave,
you.
Thanks a lot for the call. So, Mark, if he's right, if this is a revenue problem, there are pretty much two options, more money coming from the state budget as part of that two-thirds mandate you mentioned, or changing the revenue limits, allowing more property tax, local property taxes to be raised by school districts. Do you think either of those are real possibilities?
Well, I think those are. If you lift the revenue limits, well, we could raise the taxes here locally, and that used to be done. And so what's happening instead, I'd be curious as to whether government at Madison level is okay with this, but what's happening is you're just seeing more districts go to operational referendums in order to keep exactly where they're at. They're not looking to add new programs. They're just saying maintain what we have, no more cuts, let's keep our programs, and they go to these operational referendums to make it work. But that's not going to be a long-term solution. But if you lift revenue limits, that could make the long-term solution.
Talking to Mark Rolofson of Jefferson High School, a principal there. He and a group of 34 other principals of high schools wrote a letter to Governor Walker and the state legislature about their current concerns over budgets over the last couple of decades and state mandates on schools. And Mark, in that letter, you said, hey, this is all creating some haves among districts and some have-nots. So how is that playing out?
Well, school districts are measured on the success of our test scores. However, we get paid on how many kids are in our seats in one way. That's one part of the formula. And so in a business model, that would make sense. If you look at how McDonald's makes their money, they make their money on how many burgers are sold, and that's how they get paid as well. And in public education, if we're measured on the success rate of test scores, however, the enrollment gives us the dollars, but people aren't open enrolling necessarily specific to test scores. Research all over. I did my doctoral study on open enrollment and learned that culture, the safe communities, less bullying, those are the reasons people are coming into the school district of Jefferson. And yet we have high test scores. Our test scores in this district are very respectable. And at the same time, that doesn't connect. And I'm not sure you can make a competitive business model out of public education.
Have you been hearing from legislators since you and your colleagues sent this letter out?
I have not. Not one yet.
Have you gotten any kind of response from students, parents, community members in your own district?
You know, it's interesting, but I haven't heard a whole lot. I've heard from some staff members. There's been a lot of activity on social media, on Twitter and Facebook, but it's been pretty quiet at this particular juncture. But, you know, overall, I think there's some pretty good support in this community for this kind of thing. So it'll be interesting to hear what people have to say once they start walking back in the doors here in a few weeks.
Briefly, are you optimistic that some of the changes you've seen can be reversed?
You know, I'm optimistic by nature anyway. I believe that there is a way, and I believe that that people do want to see their local communities be a thriving part of their community. And so I have a hunch that things will come together. But it's time to sit down, and maybe we can't make the decisions, but at least be part of the advising committee. It'd be nice to at least be able to offer our viewpoints on some of these big decisions.
Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Mark Rolofson. He's principal of Jefferson High School. He joined us to talk about a letter that he, along with 34 other high school principals, sent to Governor Walker and state lawmakers. In the letter, they outlined their concerns over the future of public education in Wisconsin and the impact of changes over the last 20 years to budgets and state mandates. Keep sharing your thoughts on this conversation over at the Central Time Facebook page.